Welcome to this series of pensions podcasts from Grant Thornton. In this first edition, we're going to look at some of the key issues and challenges that are facing trustees, employers and other stakeholders at the moment. To make sense of those challenges and issues, I've got with me two colleagues from the pensions advisory team, Phil Green and Jamie McKenzie, both of whom are experienced pensions professionals who've worked over many years on employer covenant and scheme funding projects. My first question then, Jamie, is a simple one. What are the kind of issues that we're seeing at the moment that specifically trustees should be aware of from a point of view that it might affect the health of the scheme?
One of the major things that we're seeing that trustees should be aware of is a lot of guidance that's coming out of the regulator. They're trying to be a lot more proactive and getting things out. So there's annual statements every year, but two significant documents that have come out recently is the Code of Practice that came into force in July 2014. And this really talked about how the regulator would like to see an integrated approach to risk management. So taking into account employer covenant, investment risk and funding risk, and looking them all together to assess the kind of risk management of a scheme going forward. And this code of practice also was a chance to refresh on the previous code of practice and bring it into a kind of more current real world situation. So the economy's moved on. I don't think they were expecting a credit crisis to happen in between. So this guidance takes that a lot more into account, considers that from that perspective. And then the other document that's come in recently is, as of August 2015, is a new document on assessing and monitoring employer covenant. And this again emphasised the need for a holistic approach in dealing with the scheme, so covenant investment and funding risks. But it also talked about being clear on which employers were legally obliged to be supporting your scheme and consideration of an affordability around that.
Okay. I mean, I think we've seen some changes at the regulator this year, Phil. Is that going to have any impact that we know of?
Well, the change in the regulator key position is there's a new CEO down there. It's not quite clear yet whether or not that's going to change fundamentally the approach that the regulator takes, but I think it's certainly going to start feeding through in the wording and the focus which is put into the guidance and the practice notes that come out. Where that may take us, I don't know, but generally we are seeing a more focus on the more difficult schemes, the ones with the greater levels of deficits and the ones which are expected to be in trouble for a longer period of time. And I think that focus will continue going forward.
Yeah, I mean, the regulator acts on a proportionate level, so it's it'll be interesting to see where that goes, because there have been a long time where there's been an interim CEO, so it'll be interesting to see which direction Leslie Titcombe takes the regulator.
Okay. What about the PPF levy? Huge changes there this year as well.
Yeah, recently there's been some significant changes into the way that the PPF levy is calculated and the methodology behind it. The most notable change is the insolvency score metric. So the PPF have moved from using Dun & Bradstreet, D&B, to using a new PPF-specific insolvency score model that they developed with Experian. We've seen a lot of employers move levy bands as a result of this. So the amount that schemes and employers can be paying can significantly vary through this. And these changes came into account in October of 14. But I'd imagine it's going to become much more sharply into focus as the invoices for the 2015-16 levy year are submitted.
Okay. So that's trustees. Phil, what about any issues that employers need to be aware of?
Well, affordability still seems to be key for employers. Last year, the pensions regulator was provided with a new statutory objective, which said that trustees had to take into account sustainable growth for the employers going forward. And that is beginning to become used by the employers as a rationale for providing more internal investment from their free cash flows and pushing out recovery plan payments and length of deficit repair plans. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but trustees have to be very wary of the positions where, when companies have money, they use it to self-invest as opposed to fund the pension scheme deficit. Because in that case, pension schemes don't get what they should necessarily rightfully get out of the free cash. The alternative to that, though, is when they can't afford to pay, so when they struggle or companies begin to become loss-making or go into some form of recovery scenario, then they can't pay significant sums of money into the pension scheme. So both ends of that particular spectrum, the schemes are very badly funded. And this is something trustees need to keep an eye on, not just what the business is doing at the moment and therefore allowing reinvestment for sustainable growth, but in the longer term as well to make sure they keep up with their funding profiles.
Okay. What about investment issues like gilts, Jamie?
Yeah, gilt yields. It's been long time expected that the gilt yields will improve, and the long-term gilt yields will improve going forward. But this hasn't really come to fruition so far. But as and when it does come, I think schemes and employers need to be aware of the idea of trapped surpluses and trying to take that into account, be aware of that as a future issue.
Well, trapped surpluses at the moment are a relatively key issue from the point of view that if trustees have a clause in them that says that if there is a surplus, it can be returned back to the employers, a resolution needs to be passed by the end of March next year, 2016, which will allow that to still continue to happen. But there's a 3-month notice period for that resolution before it can actually be passed, which really means this needs to be something that the trustees are and the employers are considering now towards the end of 2015. You know, they've got a couple of months left to do that in, so it's a key issue for them at the moment.
Okay. Now, nothing affects a pension scheme like a transaction involving its employer, so one assumes that levels of transactions have been relatively depressed for the last few years. What's the story out there, Jamie?
Currently, we as a firm have been seeing a lot more activity and a lot more transactions coming through. Just as the UK and global economy has improved over that period, we're starting to see a lot more of that coming through. So it's something for trustees and employers as well to be aware of, actually, from the perspective that you'd normally think if there was an acquisition, you'd expect it to be covenant enhancing, but it needs to be considered as to how that acquisition is being financed.
Right.
So whether debt is being put on the group to cause that acquisition, you need to think about the impact it might have on the pension scheme. So what we would normally do is look at it pre and post the transaction, look at the transaction in isolation, okay, and look at the level of detriment that it causes. And if there is significant detriment, then we would be advising the trustees to look to seek mitigation.
Phil, I assume the regulator have got any thoughts on this?
Well, the regulator's view very much is that if there's a detrimental impact upon the scheme, then the trustees should be seeking mitigation, either in cash terms or through some additional security to be provided or something of that nature. As Jamie said, it's not just acquisitions or not just disposals which could impact upon a covenant. So if you remove half of the employer's trade because it's been sold on, that's obviously got a fairly clear potential detriment. Acquisitions, though, can also have a problem because although you would expect the employer to be buying a profitable business, if to buy that business they're loading a load of debt onto the balance sheet, that could impact upon where the pension scheme sits on a priority of creditors. Mm. And then once again, that could have a potential impact upon the covenant. So both acquisitions and disposals need to be considered by trustees, and they do need to, as Jamie was saying earlier, look at the pre and post position to get a view as to whether there is detriment.
Okay. Now, one of the biggest pension stories of 2015 was the new pensions freedoms. What impacts have we seen on DB schemes, Phil?
Well, you wouldn't immediately think that pensions freedoms would have an impact on DB schemes because the purpose of pension freedoms is that anyone over the age of 55 can now get their hands on a defined contribution pot if they have one. However, you can transfer out of a DB scheme into a defined contribution scheme, and therefore there is an impact with people moving out of DB schemes so they can get their hands on this money. I think the Association of British Insurers came out recently and said that they think in the first 6 months since the new pension freedoms came in, about £5 billion has been moved out of pension schemes. Now that could have a significant impact upon the funding position of defined benefit pension schemes. It's not expected that that level of funding in 6 months is going to carry on going forward. It's expected that there will be a settling of this position. But even so, in the long term, there could be some significant changes in the funding profiles of DB pension schemes, which will have to be addressed by both trustees and employers.
But Jamie, that presumably means that it's incumbent on the trustee to monitor the covenant all the time, not only at triennial valuation time.
Exactly, yeah. Covenants can change quickly. Trustees need to monitor the covenant between valuations and think about developing contingency plans as to how to deal with things. And kind of key points for trustees to consider are things that could have an impact. You know, it will vary from employer to employer, but things like material changes in the affordability, changes in the group structure, maybe any plans to refinance, so raising external financing, or dividend payments. And one other thing that trustees might not normally think about, but actual significant changes in the employer's industry. So if there was potentially a merger between two competitors, how might that impact? And I think if the trustees can look to set certain triggers or things that would trigger when they come forward, then they will be able to deal with them.
Gentlemen, thank you. And thank you for taking the time to watch today. As usual, you can find all the information you'll need on this subject, including a transcript, on our web pages at grantthornton.co.uk/pensionsadvisory.